Good evening, Rabbi Eli Nyman. Thank you very much for bringing me in for your technical assistance, your expertise. And we want to give a shout out to the one and only Jake Weinman for orchestrating, arranging, choreographing this incredible experience of learning together every night of the week, continuous 24/7 learning for the entire sheer enjoyment experience. Thank you very much, Jake. As we always do, we want to begin by dedicating the Shir L'Zecher Ul'Ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. We thank our sponsor, and we wish it is a given that the schus of this learning, this neshama, will have an aliyah. Thank you to our sponsor. This week is Parsha Shalach. We learn about the tragedy of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara that was spoken against the land of Eretz Yisrael. Parsha in the beginning tells us where Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, Shlach lecha anoshim. Rashi tells us that Moshe had no intent whatsoever of sending spies into the land to observe, to collect information, reconnaissance. It was not necessary. Emuna pshuta in Hashem. Unfortunately, for whatever the reasons, Klal Yisrael wanted a preview, wanted a information to know what they're dealing with. And Moshe selected, upon their request, Shlach Lecha. Lecha, if you wish, we will send spies. He selected the Nesim, who were tzaddikim of the highest caliber. And he prepared them, gave them very clear instructions what to do, and they went. They came back shortly thereafter, and they issued a slanderous report about the Holy Land, the Eretz HaKadosha. And that night, Vayivkom Balayla Hahu, the night that they came back, the people listened to the report, and they cried. It was the night of Tisha B'Av, and Chazal described the crying as a Bechia Shel Chinam, a cry for no reason. There was nothing to be gained. It was Chinam. And because of this, Hashem said, you cry for nothing, the day will come when you will cry. I'll give you something to cry for. And as we all know all too well that we have today, Tisha B'Av, where we mourn the Churban, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and all of the tragedies of Klal Yisrael, and we have what to cry about. It's not a Bechia Shel Chinam. With Mida K'neged Mida, you cried for nothing. Hashem gave us what to cry about. Although there were 12 spies, and 10 of them indeed returned with a slanderous, false report of Eretz Yisrael, their attitude, their agenda, was to deflate the excitement and the emunah of Klal Yisrael in entering into the land. There were two individuals in this group that were able to overcome the influence, the pressure, the intimidation of these other 12 evil men who turned evil through this experience and remained tzaddikim and indeed defended with the best of their abilities the beauty of Eretz Yisrael and tried to persuade Klal Yisrael not to listen, not to be influenced by the evil of these individuals and of their slanderous report. And who are we referring to? Everyone knows Yehoshua ben Nun and Kolev ben Yefune. It's interesting that these two individuals, they really represent the struggle of man. They represent the nisayon that we all face in life every single day. Most of the world, unfortunately, is not, let's borrow the expression, with the program. Most of the world does not recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the degree that is necessary. And only a small percent of the world, Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, has a significant degree of appreciation for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chazal tells us this. Matan Torah, Hashem himself offered the Torah to the entire world. Any nation that wants a chelik in Torah, it's here for you to take. And the only one that said Nasa V'Nishma was Klal Yisrael. And this concept continues throughout history. Klal Yisrael has taken upon themselves the task to be like their forefather, Avraham Avinu, Avraham Ho'ivri. The whole world was on one side, and Avraham was on the other side. A person with a deep conviction and appreciating that there is a Baal Havira, there is a creator who created this world and continues to maintain this world constantly and rewards and punishes every living creature for their actions, their deeds, with the principle of Midah Keneged Midah. Avram Avinu. And Avram wasn't afraid, he wasn't influenced by the nations of the world. Kalev and Yehoshua were surrounded by 10 very powerful individuals. They had an agenda, they had influence, they had power, they had talent, and Chazal seemed to indicate that naturally it should have happened that Kalev and Yehoshua would succumb to the pressure, intimidation, the surroundings of these 10 individuals, and have likewise given in and rubber-stamped the slanderous report of Eretz Yisrael. It's human nature. So what happened? What gave Yehoshua and Kalev the courage, the conviction, the stamina to remain loyal to Hashem? What's their secret? Rashi tells us something very interesting about both Yehoshua and Kalev. After Moshe selected the 12 Nesiim, the 12 princes, to be the spies, the Meraglim, Pasuk enumerates all of the Meraglim. And at the end, after they're all enumerated, we learn that Moshe changed the name of Hoshea ben Nun to Yehoshua. Hoshea ben Nun was the original name of this individual that we all refer to as Yehoshua, but it was here where he got a change of name. First, Eli enumerates all the names. The last name was Lamate Naphtali. The second last name, Lamate Naphtali Nachbi ben Vosi, Lamate God Giruel ben Mochi. And then it says, Eile Shmoyz Huanosh Mashar Shalach Moshe Lusuris Aretz Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Benun Yehoshua. Why suddenly is there a change of name? We don't ordinarily do this. Rashi tells us, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Hispalel Olav. The change of name was the way Moshe expressed his prayer. Moshe right away saw what was happening. He right away detected that there was a weakness in the scene and they would not be able to overcome this test. But he was frightened that his prized student, Yehoshua, upon whom it says, Lo Yomush Mitoicha Ohel, would be influenced by these ten men. And thus Moshe was Mispalel, his Spalel Olav. Moshe prayed for him, Ko Hashem Yoshiacha, may he save you, may Atzas Miraglim from the council of the spies. I see what's happening. My student, I'm afraid you're not going to survive. May Hashem watch over you, may he protect you, may he give you the inspiration, the courage, the stamina to overcome this test. And indeed, Hashem listened to the prayers of Moshe. Yehoshua was spared. Yehoshua did the right thing. He stood up. He went against the tide. He went against the common belief, which was based on a lie. He had the courage to come forward and tell Klal Yisrael, the land is a beautiful land. Have faith in Hashem. But what about Kalev? How did Kalev survive? We don't find anyone davening for Kalev. Rashi tells us his secret as well. When they came into the land, Vayalu v'negev, they went up along the southern side. Vayavo ad Chevroin. Rashi says there's a inconsistency in the grammar of the pasuk. It first says Vayalu vei, b'lashon rabin. They traveled along the southern side of the land. And then it says Vayavo, he, b'lashon yachid ad Chevroin. And Rashi says there was only one of the 12 Nesiim who went to Chevron. And that was none other than Kalev. Kalev levadei halach sham. V'nishtat teach al kivrei avos. He lied down on the grave of Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. He prayed at their kvarim. What did he pray for? Shelo yehei nisas lachaveros. L'hiyos ba'atzosam. But he should not be tested by his colleagues and fall under their influence and buckle under pressure to also issue a slanderous report. And in reward for that, Rashi goes on to tell us he received a special portion. He received Chevron, the burial place of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Adam, Chava, it was given to Kalev as his chiluk in the land because he went to pray at the Kivri Ovis for Siyata Deshmaya and not falling in this terrible Avera. I find it very interesting is that the two people who survived only survived because of prayer. But there's a major, major difference between the two, a fundamental difference, a world of a difference. Yoshua survived because Moshe prayed for him, whereas Kalev survived because he prayed for himself. Both of them survived only because of the koyach, the power of prayer. But whose prayer? It's interesting that Moshe did not trust or did not expect, it's not so clear, Yoshua to go and pray for himself, to go to the Kivri Avos. Kalev, no one prayed for. But Kalev, on his own, for a reason that we don't know, decided to pray for himself at the place of the Avos. Why didn't Moshe pray for Kalev? Why didn't Moshe pray for the other Shatim, the other Nesim? It's not clear, but obviously Moshe knew his customers. Moshe knew his people. Everyone is different. Every situation is different. Life is complicated. There are people for whom we have an obligation to daven for. Somehow we know who we should be davening for. And there are other people we know they can stand on their own. They can daven for themselves. We know that we have dimensions in our life where we need others to pray for us. We have to go to Gedolei Yisrael and ask for brachas. We are recipients of the prayers of our parents, our grandparents. But there are dimensions in our life where we have to step up to the plate and daven for ourselves. Two different dimensions in tefillah. A dimension in tefillah where someone has to daven for us. We have to be the recipient of that bracha. Our legacy, our ancestors prayed for us. We have to humble ourselves in recognizing that our success is only because they prayed for us. But we have the responsibility to daven for ourselves, to take matters into our own hands, and daven for others as well. It's interesting, between the two, who came out ahead, Yehoshua or Kalev? We are not the judge, Chas v'Shalom. But it is interesting that it says here in the Pasuk in Rashi, because Kalev went and he davened on his own by the Kivri Avos, he merited an extra special portion in the land. He merited to receive a piece of land that was not part of the goyel. It was given to him as a direct gift. Hebron, the city of Hebron, is the property of Kalev ben Yefune, because he took the initiative to go and to daven to the Avos, to Hashem, through the zechus of the Avos, in the Makom Kodesh of where the Avos are, that Hashem should spare him from this difficult situation. Yoshua ben Nun, who was the recipient of the blessing of Moshe Rabbeinu, he received the letter of Sarai. He had a chelik of the name of Sarai embedded in him. Yet, we don't find anywhere that Yehoshua received an extra special parcel of land in recognition of his Mesiras Nefesh in not issuing Lashon Hara over the land. A person who works, achieves. Yogati umatsasi tamen. Kalev, in this matter, he struggled. He davened for himself, and he received an extra bracha. At the end of the parasha, we learn about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Many of the commentators explain that the mitzvah of tzitzis very much parallels the story of the meraglim. And we look at the tzitzis as a reminder to be careful what we look for. There's always dangerous things that can mislead us, that can cause us to make a mistake in our attitude in serving Hashem. We put on the tzitzis, we put on tcheles, we look at the tcheles, and we see, Chazal tells us, it reminds us of the color of tcheles, reminds us of the yam, of the sea, and the sea reminds us of the sky, and the sky reminds us of the kis yakovit. We slowly connect to Hashem. It's a spiritual experience. Look at the tzitzis. The tzitzis, Rashi explains in different gematrias, different ideas. It's a zecher for all of the mitzvahs. It says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yisim osu v'chaydim es kol mitzvahs Hashem, v'asisim my son. We look at the tzitzis as a form of chizuk, as a atonement or as a antidote for the dangers that are out in the world attempting to sway our vision and our perception. What I'd like to suggest is that in the tzitzis, there are two different elements. There is what is called the lavan, the white, and the tcheles. And continuing the parallel between the meraglim and the tzitzis, I'd like to suggest is that the white tzitzis, this represents Yehoshua ben Nun. The tzitzis, which are chilek of the garment, which Rashi says, batikocheni b'tzitzis roishi. It's almost a natural portion of the garment. Not exactly, of course, in halacha, how tzitzis are made, very, very specific halachas. But it represents the fact that there have been and there are people who are davening for us. They are praying for us. But we don't see the wrong thing. We don't fall into a trap where our perception of the world is incorrect, is without Yirat Shamayim, without proper guidance. The blue cords, the tcheles, the Torah emphasizes, you shall put the tcheles on the tzitzis. You shall insert the tcheles. And the tcheles represents the kisya kovot. The tcheles represents kolev ben yifune. Are you davening for yourself? What are you doing for yourself? Are you just a free rider? Just a recipient of the prayers and the blessings of someone else? You have to go to work for yourself as well. You have to acquire your own merit. You have to daven. You have to also be a kolev. We all know that our merit is not sufficient. We all need to be recipients of the prayers and the blessings of our ancestors, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and our grandparents, great-grandparents, going all the way back, whose acts of kindness and prayers have brought us to where we are today. But we also have to do something for ourselves. The white tzitzis represent Yehoshua. The blue tzitzis represent Kolev. The pasuk says, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem yosu lohem. They shall make for them tzitzis al kanfei v'gdehem l'doroson. They shall make for themselves tzitzis on the corners of their garment for all generations. But then it says, v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof psil tcheles. Upon these tzitzis, you shall insert the psil tcheles. We read the pasuk in a homiletic fashion. Make for yourself tzitzis, the white tzitzis, as a reminder. There are people out there in the world that are looking out for you. Your parents, grandparents, ancestors, your friends, your children, they're davening for you. Put it on your garment and acknowledge that when you look at those white tzitzis, which is an extension of your garment, you have been blessed that there's someone out there that is praying that you should see the right thing. But that's not enough. The pasuk emphasizes with a strong word, you have to also do something. V'nasinu al tzitzis hakonof, upon the tzitzis that have been given to you as a gift, you have to do something also. You must put upon them the psil tcheles. Look at the blue. Remind yourself of the Yam. Remind yourself of Shemaim. Remind yourself of the Kisya Kavod. Dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to dive into yourself as well. You have to go in the ways of Kolev Ben Yefune. It's not enough to be a Yehoshua, to have a Moshe Rabbeinu and to pray for you and say, Ko Yoshiach Ami Atzas Miraglim. You have to go to Chevroin. You have to go and daven in the zuchus of the others. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Okel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanayra, Kelo Elyon. When you daven Shemona Esri every single day, and you start with those words, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, you're imitating Kolev Ben Yefune, who went to the Kirvei Avos and said, Hashem, I'm here to daven for myself. I just can't be a Yehoshua to whom someone has davened. I also need to daven. They both work together. You take in your hand the tzitzis, which has both the white and the blue. And you have to appreciate the difference between them. The zman of tzitzis begins in the morning, the early morning, when you're able to be mavchin, to differentiate between the white and the blue. A person has to appreciate that there are things in this world that we are blessed to receive only because of other people. But we have to have enough light to understand that we have a duty to contribute, to daven for others, for ourselves, to go in their ways and further build and lay the foundation for the next generation. May we merit to always be a Yehoshua and a Kalev together. Thank you very much for coming and for listening. May you all have a wonderful, successful week with bracha and hatzlacha. Good night.